Shall we turn now again to the Word of God and let us read together from Jeremiah chapter 6 and the first 17 verses. Jeremiah was known, or is known, as the weeping prophet. It does us all good just to sometimes come to a book like this in the Word of God and just read it right through in a couple of sittings to get the overall picture of what is happening and what is going on. And Jeremiah was a godly and faithful prophet who spoke the truth. But he spoke the truth in a time when the people of Israel would not hear the truth. They blocked their ears. They would not listen. In fact, they threw him in a dungeon and fed him bread and water. Jeremiah had a really hard time. You and I don't have as hard a time as Jeremiah did. He suffered much. As a prophet of God, although he suffered, he was still faithful always to proclaim that word, even though he knew that the word that he would speak would bring persecution and trouble to him. He still spoke that word because he knew it was the truth. It takes the grace of God, doesn't it, in any of our hearts to cause us to be brave like that spiritually. And in this chapter here, the little part that we're going to read, we see something of the blackness of Israel. How that Israel is in a state where they will not hear the word of God, where they don't want to hear the word of God, where they block their ears to the word of God. And yet, even though in the first part of the chapter we see that God portrays this, what is going to happen, that the judgment that is going to come upon them from their enemies, he portrays it very, very vividly. And our text is like just a ray of light that is shining in a very dark situation. And that's what makes it very precious this afternoon. Now, I hope we can see just how precious that it is, because it's God's mercy to speak to a people and to direct them even though they are so rebellious. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up the sign in Beth-Rekem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her, and they shall pitch their tents against her around about, and they shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is a city to be visited. She is holy oppression in her midst, in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem. Let thy soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate and a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them as a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields, and their wives together with their fields, and their wives together. I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They were ashamed when they had committed abomination. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At a time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Thus we read the word of God, and a somber and sober word of God it is, isn't it, to us this evening. Well, I have chosen this passage because it is very applicable to us in our day and age in which we live. I think our countries around us, you in Singapore and for us in Australia, that we could say that on a whole, the people are very much like those of Israel who are described to us here. That the corruption is not only confined to the secular field, but as it says here, the priest and the prophet, they are also corrupted. And so it is a very, very sad situation. How are they corrupted? Why are they like they are? That's a big question, isn't it, for us to ask? Is it the same, and can we ask the same question, of the people among whom we live? How is it and why is it that they are like they are? Well, there is a predominant tendency within the heart of man to always look for something that is new, to always look for something that is novel. This is the tendency within the sinful heart of man. the old ways, they must be either modified or discarded. And so we are not mistaken if we think that we are mistaken, I should say, if we think that this tendency was just with Israel, and this was a tendency with Israel. The word of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord that was spoken through Jeremiah, that was rejected out of hand. It was old hat to them. It was a word that wasn't applicable to them. And so they disregarded it. They disregarded the word of God. And their prophets and their priests, they spoke to them and they said, look, everything's all right. Peace is with us. Peace, peace. And so they lulled the people to sleep that they could have lives that were totally given over to covetousness. Do you think this evening that we could say that there is anything like a covetous spirit among our societies in which we live? Do you think there's anything like a materialism and a seeking after just the things of this life and not being ever satisfied with what we have, but of coveting even what our neighbour has and of wanting more and more? That's what Israel was like. So they did violence and they subjected the poor to their violence, and they robbed from the poor, and the rich got richer and the poor were afflicted and got poorer. Is not this the tendency within the heart of every unregenerate man? Every man who does not acknowledge God. That fallen nature that is within us is that which always seeks after the things that will not bring satisfaction. Always seeks after the material things of the world, the honour, the glitter and the glamour that is all around us. And so it is that though God has made man upright, they have sought out many inventions. They have sought out many inventions. And even those of Jeremiah's time, they were seeking new ways, new religion, new methods, methods that would satisfy the craving of their human soul. And so it is that they were in a bad spiritual state of declension. And the prophets, God said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 14. Everything's going to be all right, the prophets were saying. And God was saying, destruction is coming. It's coming from the north. I am sending destruction upon Jerusalem because you have turned away. But the prophets were saying, no, everything's all right. Men will always look for another way other than the right way. That we see all around us, and we see that even in our own hearts. They will consider a way that is not the right way as a good way, and they will consider the good way to be an evil way, and they will reject it. They will not hear or listen. And so God says to us, as God says to Israel, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I want to consider this text with you under four headings, and they are brief, so I'll try to keep them brief. Firstly, the discovery of the way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Secondly, the description of the way. They were all old paths. Wherein is the good way? Thirdly, is the discipline of the way, and walk ye therein. And fourthly, is the delight of the way, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. May God bless his word to us. It's appropriate and proper that we should start off with the discovery of this way. How do we discover this way, which is the good way, which is the way that God sets down? How is it that we can do that? Well, God says and directs us here, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Men down through the centuries have given their whole lives to searching for what they would think was the right path, the good way. And Job says with regard to that, he throws out this challenge, or God throws out this challenge, the Holy Spirit throws out this challenge through Job. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Job 11 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul also takes up this same thing and throws out a challenge to us. He says in writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, he says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So Job says, it is impossible for people to find God and to find the right way through their own searching, through their own resources. And the Apostle Paul says that in the wisdom of God, God has shut up the true knowledge of himself so that no man can find God and the right way by the wisdom of the world. The world by wisdom knew not God. So the discovery of the way is not by just applying our natural talents, our intellect, the wisdom that we have naturally speaking. It's not by saying that I will humanly discover what is the right way. I will humanly set my path to be, my feet to be on the right path. No, it is not human in us humanly to be able to discover this way. It is not by human wisdom, and it is not by human investigation. Look carefully and notice the words of our text. It says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. By divine grace, we must be brought to the place where we will firstly stand, where we will cease from human effort, where we will see that it's not within us to be able to find this good way that is spoken of in the Word of God. We must stand still. As the prophet says in another place, stand still and see the salvation of God. Don't be taken up with human endeavor and effort. Don't be taken up with the wisdom of the world and the striving after wisdom according to the ways of the world. It is only by the revelation of God, it is only by the light that God shines by His Holy Spirit through His Word into our heart that will bring us to these paths that He is speaking of here. God here instructs us to ask Him for the old paths. Ask and ye shall receive, the Lord Jesus says. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Earnest prayer, sincere prayer, persevering prayer to God for His illuminating Spirit to lead us into truth and into the way of truth is the only way that we can discover this path, these good old paths. And so it is that we are brought to the end of ourselves, people of God. We are brought to the place where we realize that it is not in us naturally to see the truth and the life and to be able to follow that which is right. It is not in our hearts naturally to walk in the ways of God. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate us, to quicken us in our very hearts, to teach us and to lead us in the way of truth. It is not of ourselves. It is of God to reveal His way unto us. The second place, we see that we have in our text the description of the way. We do not have a full description here of the way of life, because this the full description of this way of life is throughout the whole of the Word of God, from cover to cover. We see that God's Word is given over to show us the way of life, the way of God, the way of truth. We only find that in the Bible. We only find that by a consistent reading of the Word of God, a consistent prayer that God will teach us from His Word. And so we've got to read the whole counsel of God. So here we have merely a summary. It is called the old paths, wherein is the good way. You see, God can say this in His Word. He can say this because the way, the path, has never ever changed. Right from Adam, right through to the present day in which we live, the path of God has not changed. The way of salvation has not changed. It is the same. This flies in the face of all that the dispensationalists say to us, that there are indeed seven dispensations in the Word of God, and that certain parts of the Word of God are not for us, but they are for the Jews and so forth. And that the way of salvation in the Old Testament is through the law, whereas the way of salvation in the New Testament is through faith. It's what the dispensationalists say. And this flies in the face of that, that the old paths, wherein is the good way, they have always been there. They are old paths. They are not new paths. They are old paths. God has set it down from the very beginning, from the very first promise of the gospel that He gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 and 15. The promise of the Redeemer. Right from there, right through to the end of Revelation, we see God showing us the way of redemption through His Son. The way has never changed and will never change. Prophet does not have to invent some new way. I don't have to invent some new way and come out with some new thing tonight for you, some novel thing. No, the Word of God, the path that is set down in the Word of God, throughout all the Word of God, it is the old path wherein is the good way. God does not chop and change. He does not start off by saying, well, I will save my people in this way, this is the good way, and then hundreds of years later say, well, look, that hasn't worked, so I'll introduce something new. God is not like that. God is all wise, and God is unchanging, and God is faithful, and God is a God of wisdom, and God is a God of truth. And God never changes, and God's truth never changes. The Lord Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These simple words of the Lord Jesus Christ point us to the way, to the good way, to the old paths. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is absolutely no way to God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. We're to take that to heart tonight. We're to believe that with all our mind and with all our soul. We are to believe that the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Through Him and through Him alone is the good way and the old paths. And in writing to the Hebrews, the writer says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. There is no other way. But what does the preacher say? The ancient preacher in Proverbs 12 and verse 15. He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it is that man contrives and thinks of a way, and to him it seems the right way. And so he puts all his effort and all his strength into going down that way. But the inspired writer says that the end of that way is the way of death. And I want to tell you what that way is today that ends up in death. It is the doctrine of works salvation. That's the way of death. It's anyone or any church or any religion who says unto you that you must have something to contribute to your salvation, that you must in some way prepare yourself to God, for God to take you as His. And there are many that say, oh yes, we believe that we are saved by faith, like the Roman Catholic Church. We believe that we are saved by faith, but also by works. You must also add your works to your faith. Use passages like James, no doubt. Faith without works is dead, and so forth. What James is saying is right. But all true faith will produce the flower of good works. But not good works to merit salvation. Good works out of a gratitude and love for God for having saved us and justified us through faith. The prophet refers to the old good paths. This is the way of salvation by free and sovereign grace. Salvation that is absolutely all of God and nothing of man. This is the start of the old path. This is the wicked gate through which we all must pass onto that straight and narrow pathway. We must come to the foot of the cross and we must realize that it is only through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that our burden and our sin can fall away, and that we can enter in and walk along this path which is called the path of holiness. And so though men and churches stray from this path, it is always there. It's an old path wherein is the good way. Paul taught it so very clearly. It was almost smothered in the dark ages, but revived and quickened by God in the times of the Reformation. And so we have it also today. The old paths, the way of pardon through the blood of Christ, justification by faith, of sanctification by the Spirit, of perseverance of the saints, of the sovereignty of God in salvation, of the perfect fulfillment of God's purpose in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the old paths, wherein is the good way. The whole teaching of the Word of God. Practical godliness of worshipping God according to His Word, of walking in His way, of not seeking to add our thoughts and our ways to God's worship and God's way, but in subjecting ourselves to the truth as it is in the Word of God. In receiving the Bible as the inspired Word of God that speaks to us, the very voice of God speaking to us as you read the Bible, do you believe that? Do you believe that it is the very Word of God? That it is the supreme rule of all faith and practice? Do you believe that? My beloved, we could go on and on to describe this, the old paths. They're ever revealed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to sinners, helpless, lost, dead sinners, quickened by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. These, the prophet says, are the good ways. Why are they good? Well, I'll tell you just so very briefly why they are good. They are good because, in the first place, they always glorify God. They point to God as being the sovereign God who orders and rules all things for His own glory and for the good of His people. They are good ways because they humble us and they show us our entire dependence upon God. If we are to walk in this way, we are only able to walk by the grace of God. It is not by human strength or endeavour. It is by the grace of God alone. This humbles man and causes man to rely upon God and to look to God. They are good ways because they are the only way, the one way. There is no other. And there is a discipline attached to this way, for he says, and walk therein. But they said, we will not walk therein. So God says, you are responsible to walk in the ways. God holds all men responsible to walk in this way. But they said, we will not walk. We have our own way, and we will walk in our own way. We will not subject ourselves to your way, to God's way, the way that the prophet would teach them. And so they will be held accountable in the day of judgment. God will hold them responsible. He will say, God will say to these people of Israel, he will say, remember Jeremiah? Remember my prophet? Remember how you threw him in prison and fed him on bread and water? Remember the words that he spoke to you? The words of truth? Remember how you rejected them? They were my words. I was speaking through my prophet to you, and you are responsible, and I'm going to judge you because you have disobeyed me and you have turned away from my words. You have turned away from the old paths wherein is the good way. And so it is that as we read together in Isaiah 35, it speaks of this way that the prophet has spoken of as being a highway there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean, he says, shall not pass over it. And so there is a discipline in this way. There is an obedience to the command of God. An obedience by grace, no doubt, but nevertheless an obedience. We must obey the word of God as it comes to us, the truth of God. We must see it, we must acknowledge it, and we must walk in the light of God's word. We'll be held responsible. And the more knowledge we have, the more responsible we will be held to walk in that way. You thought of that? It's one thing in learning doctrine, isn't it? It's one thing in studying a book of theology and saying, yes, well, I can see all these wonderful doctrines, but it is another thing to be held responsible to walk in the light of that truth that you know. And God holds us responsible. Walk in that way, he says. But they would not. I wonder how it is with you this evening. I wonder if it is that you're like Israel. You have sat under the preaching of God's word. You know the way that God has set before you. But you have said in your heart, I will not walk therein. Well, to you I want to say that God will hold you responsible. He will say to you, as he says to those who were in Jeremiah's time, he will say to you, remember that time when the preacher stood before you and told you about the way, the old paths, wherein is the good way? Remember that time I said to you through that preacher, walk in those ways. You're responsible to do that. The wonderful thing is to end on this note, the delight that God's people have in the good way. And ye shall find rest to your souls. God knows that there are times when this straight and narrow way that he calls us to, when he calls us to take up our cross and to follow the Lord Jesus, when he calls us to suffer for the sake of Christ and to suffer for the things that we believe, and as a Reformed church, and as those that stand on the doctrines of sovereign and free grace, we know what it is to be persecuted, even by other Reformed churches, to be called hyper-Calvinist, to be called all manner of nasty things because we don't agree with what they have to say concerning God's general love and common grace. We know what it is to suffer as the result of that, our stand upon the truth and our walking in the way of truth as we believe that God has revealed it to us. But God promises us here. He says, look, no matter what happens, he says, if you follow me in this way, in this straight and narrow way, you will find rest to your souls. And there is no rest outside of that way. There is no true peace. The false prophets might speak peace, peace, but God says there is no peace apart from my way and apart from through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we quoted this morning, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is rest for our souls. And this rest belongs to all those who are on this way of holiness, who all have been taught by God and are walking with God and walking with the other people of God. The apostle in another place states, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his works as God did from his. And so there is a special spiritual rest for those who come to this way and see that they are justified without the works of their own righteousness and that they can rest entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a rest for the people of God which is through grace by faith. And so the complete reliance upon another, even on the Lord of glory, brings rest to our souls. The Bible says that Christ is our peace. And as we have him, we have rest. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where are we this evening? Have we heard something of the old paths, wherein is the good way? And have we said in our hearts we will not walk therein? No one knows that we've said that in our heart. We only know it ourselves. We're to be warned tonight that God indeed holds you responsible. You have heard his word, and you will be judged according to that word. For those who have by grace taken up their cross to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who have stood in the way and who have asked for the old paths and seek to walk in that way, you will find that God is with you. And no matter what comes in the future, God will give you grace and strength. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about the future. God is with you. And He will give you all that you have need of. And He will never allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. But He will make a way of escape with the temptation. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He will keep you in His hand and you will never be taken from it. You will be able to rest in Him and in Him alone. And it will be a rest of your soul, a deep spiritual rest, something that the world can never give. You will have. And it will be perfected in eternity. You will be with Him forever. May God help us all to be those who stand in this way and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, wherein we shall find rest unto our souls. Amen.